So yesterday, I'm in the mall. Okay, that's what I do on the weekends. Not every weekend, but there's a there's a good there's a fair share of weekends that I wind up in a mall. Okay, how you do? I wind up in a mall, and it's not the same mall every weekend or every other weekend. It's various malls. Rather, it's Beverly Hills Mall. Rather, it's the Glendale Mall. Rather, it's the Northridge Mall. Rather, it's the Santa Anita Mall. That seems to be the new mall we go to. Westfield, Santa Anita Mall, near the Santa Anita Racetrack. It's a huge mall. It's a fabulous mall. And they have a Forever 21 there that's like three floors. And Catherine, my beautiful and lovely girlfriend, who, by the way, will not be on the show today. She has the day off. I've given her the day off. I did. I gave her the day off because she works hard every day. She's beyond a hard worker. The hardest working girlfriend slash wife slash fiance that I've ever been with. And I haven't been with a lot of girls. I'm not a super playboy stud. I know you would think I was or I am. I know I'm so handsome. But I haven't been with that many. And out of all, about five that I have been with, she by far is the hardest worker, the most caring, the most dedicated. Everything she does is 170%. There's not a lazy bone in her body. She's just perfect in every way. So I told her today, take off, go do, I don't know, tan. She goes, well, there's no, my tanning place is closed because it's Memorial Day. I said, well, do whatever you want. Sleep in. You never get to sleep in. You're up when I'm up. You're working on your show. You said, okay, I'll sleep a little longer than I normally do. So she will not be with us today. You just got me. Okay, if you guys could deal with it. So I'm at the mall because, like I said, that's what I do, Forever 21. And when I hit Forever 21, I look through my phone. Like, I'll look at my Twitter feed and I'll read articles while she's looking at stuff because it's a good 2 hours. It's a good 2 hours in Forever 21 that will result a lot of times in nothing. It literally results in nothing. It's a walk to this department area, this and this and this, and touch this and feel this. And at the end of it, all right, I'm ready. You're not going to get anything? No. I just didn't feel it. Okay. My phone is going off with, I just update after update. You know, I'm LinkedIn. Remember, I got the cool iPhone here. I mean, a lot of people have the cool iPhone, but I have the cool iPhone. Even though I hate Apple, I effing hate them, okay? I hate them. I despise them. They support, I don't know if they necessarily support terrorism, but they did support terrorism over the security of the United States of America. They did. I know I'm being a little extreme, but the fact that they didn't unlock that phone really burns my cajones, okay? But what am I going to do? Go get a flip phone? Hey, come on, you know? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Huh? What am I going to boycott French fries? Remember that? Remember when we were in the Iraq War years ago? Some of you 20-something-year-olds don't remember this, but they're... The French, they didn't let us use their airspace, and they did a lot of things that we didn't like. So a bunch of people came up with this brilliant idea to, A, boycott wine and French fries. At first, people said, we just won't eat French fries. And then they went, well, come on. Well, okay, we'll just call them freedom fries. So they're freedom fries. But at first, people were like, we're just not going to eat French fries. I was like, ah, How do you not eat French fries? They're so good. So, I hate Apple, but what are you going to do? Get a flip phone or a Sidekick? And no one wants that. So, we're stuck with the iPhone. Okay, back to my story. So, I get all these updates. Update, ding, 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 dong, ding, 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 dong, ding, ding. That's what I get. Ding, ding, dong, ding, ding, dong, ding. No, I'm not at a Korean restaurant. That was later. Ding, dong, ding, ding, dong, ding, dong. And when you go to Santa Anita, which is Arcadia, it's in that area, everybody is Asian. I've never seen so many Asians in my life. Never seen so many Asians in my life. It's like being in China or Japan. I'm not real sure because I'll say, oh, it's Chinese. And Catherine will go, they're Japan. They're Japanese. And I go, how can you tell? And she'll start breaking it down to me. Well, their head sizes, their eyes, their hair, their weight. She's got it all figured out. Me, I don't. I don't. I'm oblivious. I think they're all Chinese. But anyways, all the alerts are going off. Ding dong, ding ding dong, ding ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Ding dong, ding dong. Ding dong, ding dong. And I look, and the headline says, Bill Kristol announces there will be an independent candidate. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what the hell is this? And I look, and Bill Kristol, those of you don't know, he's the editor of the Weekly Standard. Okay, he's the boss, and he's Mr. Neoconservative, Mr. We are the authority of the Republican Party. We are the ones that organize the money people. We are the ones that tell everybody who to vote for. He's basically one of the handfuls of Republicans that have controlled the party for the last 30 or 40 years. You know, when you hear people go, you know, when you hear this establishment, there is no establishment. Everybody thinks it's like there's a room and there's this, you know, a bunch of people sitting in that room, and there is. And Bill Kristol is one of the architects of this establishment. I mean, listen, this is what it's all about, too. Okay? This whole it's against conservative principles and we have to have a candidate that adheres. BS. It has nothing to do with that. It all has to do with power. Okay? It all has to do with power and being relevant. And Bill Kristol knows that if Trump, well, he's already the nominee, but should Trump win the presidency, everything that Bill Kristol has created in the past 30 plus years, every magazine, every column, every TV appearance, everything that he has created the Republican Party to be gets thrown out the window because the Trump agenda, the Trump Party, the Republican Party that would be Trump, is extremely different than the Bill Kristol Republican Party. And the entire party will adapt to the platform, so to speak, of Donald Trump. Every orthodoxy that was the Republican Party will now be tweaked, twisted, pulled into the mold of Donald Trump. And Bill Kristol will be done. The Stuart Stevenses will be done. The Eric Ericsons, they will be the minority. They will be irrelevant. They will be nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because that will mean 67 or 68 million people will have voted to take the country in a Trump direction. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And that's what this is about. That's what this is about. It's like a football coach. It's like a Tom Landry, if I could use a football analogy. And I know Republicans like the Stuart Stevens and individuals like that, they get so upset when you use sports analogy. When you use any a loose analogy when referencing the presidency or things of that, it's like the presidency is so important. It should not be talked like it's something as loose and as unimportant as sports. And the way Donald Trump... Oh, shut up. Shut up. Ugh. Ugh. I will use a football analogy. When you're a Tom Landry, when you're one of these coaches that have been the head of a team, you know, like the Cowboys or the Packers, a legendary team, and you're one of these coaches that have been there for 20 years or 25 years, and you were there at a time where football was a certain way, and you were one of the pioneers of creating a style of football and a style of play that resonated throughout not just the team, but the league and how things operated and promotion, just everything that is football. And then all of a sudden, one day, that way of doing things is gone, is outdated. And it happens overnight. It really does. You know, now you could hear, listen, when you hear people say, well, you know, the Trump thing, this could have been avoided if politicians would have just listened to their party. It's really not that simple. I mean, that's conservatives, that's Republicans who do support Trump in a way, downplaying Trump. When you hear them say he's really the vessel. The frustration's been out there for years and years and years. Listen, you're 100% right. The frustration has been out there for years and years and years. But nobody has been able to grab that frustration and create a movement with it. All right? Everybody before Trump, it's like, all right, yeah, they're all right. They're, yeah, okay. Marco Rubio. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, he's young. I mean, it's all been the standard look. He's kind of like a Republican Kennedy. Look, he's kind of like a Republican Obama. It's always been like someone. But it's all the same game plan. You have to win 40% of the Hispanic vote. You got to win this and you got to win that. That. Got to that. Ding, bop, boom. And with Trump, it's different. With Trump, it's different. So the Republican Party, as we know it, has changed. And the Crystals and the Stuart Stevens, they are beside themselves. They are literally beside themselves. They don't understand how this could happen. Because everything that they've created for the past 20, 30, 40 years, whether it's been social issues, economic issues, trade issues, it's always been one. It's always been power, the power I formation. Power I. Fourth and two, regardless, you punt. If you're in the standard, you don't promote like this. You don't create that. And here we are in a situation where your Bill Crystals and your Stuart Stevens are going, wait a minute. How could people be voting for somebody that goes against this idea or this issue or this principle that has been ingrained in our voters' minds for 30 years? What the hell is going on? Power. That's what this is all about. Has nothing to do with, I will never vote for Trump because it violates every aspect of who I am. And I could never look my child in the eye. Like Mitt Romney goes, I couldn't look my grandchildren in the eye and say, I supported that man. It ain't about that. It ain't about that. So, Bill Crystal says in a tweet, just a heads up, over this holiday weekend, there will be an independent candidate, an impressive one, with a strong team and a real chance. A real chance of what? The only real chance would be spoiler against Trump and handing the nomination to Hillary Clinton. Not even making her work for it. Regardless, when you hear people go, doesn't matter, Trump's going to lose anyways. Okay, but at least Hillary's going to have to work for it. When you look at polls in different states, whether she's down or she's only up by 2 points, or in the national poll, depending on which one you are following, Trump's up by 3 or 4 points, or he's down by 1 or 2 points, she's going to have to work for it. And if you got to work for the win, if you're the favorite, and you have to work for the win against the underdog always has a shot. But if you just go and lay down or you forfeit and don't show up, you're handing that person the win. And that's all Bill Crystal and whoever his real candidate is. It's not to win. They can't win. We went over this before. They can't win. They can't win. No different than the independent, this libertarian, Johnson, this goofball. He's not going to win. He's not going to win. He's going to suck some votes from Hillary and from Trump. I've heard people say he'll take more votes from Trump. I don't know about that. The guy's running on a pro-weed platform. That's a liberal platform. Being a candidate that says, I smoke weed, that's a Bernie platform. If you're pro-weed, you're not voting for Donald Trump. You're not voting for Republicans. That's not their platform. I mean, that's not their platform. If you're pro-enforcing our borders, you're not going to vote for the Johnson guy. He has the position of Hillary Clinton. He's going to take votes from Hillary Clinton. He ain't going to take votes from Trump. Two big issues. Think about that. Two big issues. Two big issues. They're huge issues. Weed, and I mean big issues to Bernie supporters, to liberals. Weed and open borders. So if you're a liberal, why would you vote for if you're a Republican looking for an alternative, why would you vote for the guy that's pro-weed and pro-open borders? I mean, that's just, it's insane. It's insane. So you got him. Okay, great. Awesome. There's no way that an anti-Trump vote is going to go to him. It's just not going to happen. But regardless, you're going to have him take some votes away. But when Bill Kristol says there will be an independent candidate, an impressive one, with strong team and a real chance. That's handing the election to Hillary Clinton. That's not a strong chance to win. It's just to siphon votes from Trump. That's what it is. That's all it is. That's it. And when you hear somebody go, well, that's not really the case, because if Trump was strong enough, it wouldn't matter. But this just shows that he's not strong enough to unify the party. That's complete BS. And it goes back to what I said when you're talking about people that stay in the race in the primary season. If you're somebody that has dedicated your time, your energy, and your money to a candidate, you don't vote for another candidate strategically. You don't do the Hugh Hewitt and go, okay, well, I'm going to vote for this person and then that person, and hopefully on the rebound, 2 months later, I'll be able to vote back for my... You don't do that. You don't do that. Your candidate gets out of the race, and then eventually there's a nominee, a general election, and then you pick that person. If you're a Republican, okay, Ted Cruz is out of the race. I love Ted Cruz. I'm a Cruz bot. He's the greatest in the world. I love him. 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 But he's gone. I'm not going to go for Hillary, so I'll go for Trump. Well, guess what? If all of a sudden Ted Cruz jumps in, all the people that said, I love him, 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 are going to vote for him. They're like, oh my God. Oh my God, you're not, You're not going to then not vote for him. He's the guy that you... I gave Ted Cruz $1,000 over the course of the year. I went to 5 of his rallies. I got his bumper sticker on my car. I got his sign in my yard. Of course you're going to vote for him. Has nothing to do with,
well, that's the not unifying the party. That's a...
Has nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing to do with it. No different than when everybody said,
Trump's never going to win. He's never going to win. He'll never get the nomination, but he could be the spoiler.
Remember early on in the primary season when people said, right now Trump's got a core group. He's got about 18%.
He's got X amount of millions of people that vote for him. So if he ran as a third party, he's not going to win, but he definitely would take 4, 5, 6 million votes away from whoever that Republican nominee is, and in turn hand the election to Hillary Clinton.
Nobody said, oh, it will be because the nominee hasn't unified the party. It's just when you run for president, you have a base. You have a following. You have core individuals. When you're somebody like Bernie Sanders and you raise $35 million in a month from people that are sending you $100, $200, $50, those people will stay with you if you run as a green leaf party. They'll stay with you if you run for the Shibuga Booga party. It doesn't matter. So it has nothing to do with Trump not unifying the party. If Bill Kristol pulls out somebody that has name recognition, that has ran for president before, that person is going to have a base. And I'm not talking about some goofball senator. Okay? I'm not talking about Ben Sass. Okay? Not even talking about Tom Cotton. Got to be a name. It's got to be a Kasich. It's got to be a Cruz. It's got to be a Romney. It's got to be somebody that has millions of people that have followed them, that have voted for them, that have given them money. That doesn't mean Trump hasn't unified the party. And again, I go back to this primary season. What they were doing to Trump, they could have done 4 years ago. And then they could have done that 4 years before. There's just the way things are done, no different than what's happening with Hillary. Everybody in the Democratic Party is saying, Bernie, get out. Dianne Feinstein's like, why doesn't he see the writing on the wall? He needs to get out. What Bernie's doing hasn't been done before. Well, it hasn't been done for a while. There's a process. There's rules and unwritten rules. We've had this conversation before on the program. There's rules, and then there's rules that aren't written in a book, but everybody follows them. And years past, if somebody wanted to be a little prick from either party, whoever was the second place finisher, whoever was the strong second place finisher, I'm not talking about Tom Harkin or something like that, but let's just say Hillary Clinton back in 08 was like, I'm going to run third party. F you, Barack Obama. She could have ran third party, and she would have taken millions and millions and millions of votes
from Barack Obama, and John McCain would be the president. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. But you just don't do that. It's not what you do. You don't want to be known as the piece of human garbage, the piece of dog dung that did that. You don't want to do that. And you don't do that. So here we are, 2016, because Bill Kristol and his crew don't want to lose power. They don't want people to say, hey, you're irrelevant now. Your magazine is more irrelevant than it is now. Who you are is you are nothing now. Because 60 plus million people voted for Donald Trump. 60 some odd million people said the Republican Party is now this. The Republican Party is now this. And Bill Kristol becomes the Whig Party. I mean, he does. He becomes, because remember, if this happens, congressman after congressman, senator after senator, governor after governor, state assemblyman, state assemblywoman, they all start bending. Because you can't all of a sudden, out of the blue, but you start bending to those issues that Trump won on. That's what Kristol and the Stevenses and the Rick Wilsons and the Eric Erickson's and the George Will, that's what they're terrified about. They lose their power. They lose everything. Bill Kristol can't go and get hired to be a consultant. He can't go on talk shows, that stupid magazine. It's irrelevant. He's nothing. He becomes nothing. He becomes nothing. Because the things that he says, the things that he's telling everybody to believe in, is irrelevant. Because that's not what got elected to the presidency of the United States. What got elected to the presidency of the United States is opposite of him. But yet it's the same party. It's the Republican Party. So Bill Kristol and his band of rejects are now willing to hand the presidency over to Hillary Clinton to protect their power. Think about this, okay? Think about this, you guys and girls. You have millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people that don't like Hillary Clinton, that don't like the Democrats. They are going to have their vote thrown out the window. They're going to have their voice thrown out the window because of 5 or 6 people. Think about that. 5 or 6 people led by Bill Kristol are literally going to transform this country. They're going to go against the will of tens of millions of people for their own selfish greed. Is that amazing? I mean, guys, do you realize some of the states to get your name on a ballot as a third party has already come and gone? The libertarian guys, that Johnson, that Gary Johnson, whatever his name is, that goofball with his pal, the VP, whatever the hell they are, they're not on all the states. Still working to get on every single state. They're going to be, or almost. And they've been doing it for years. That party, the Libertarian Party, has been doing it for years. Texas, you can't get on the ballot. For Bill Kristol to have his, and the name that they have is a real weird, the Latter-day Republicans. That's what his name is, the Latter-day Republicans. Which, listen, if that's not coded Mitt Romney, I don't know what else is. You know, the Latter-day Saints. So if the Mormons, the Latter-day, I mean, seriously. Seriously. The Latter-day Republicans. So for Kristol to run whoever, and we'll get to the possibilities, but the Latter-day Republicans, they're not on the Texas ballot. They can't get on the Texas ballot. The time has already passed. They would have to sue. They would have to sue to get on the ballot. They would have to sue to get on the ballot. So Bill Kristol doing what he's doing is not about winning. It's about power and about making sure Donald Trump does not become the president, and in turn, the Republican Party shifting its platform and shifting its ideals, because Bill Kristol feels that him and his 3, 4, 5, or 6 pals know what's right for the party. That's what it's all about. What they feel the party should be. Forget the voters. Forget the millions of people that are out there. They're the ones that decide where the party's going, what its direction is, what its views are. Bill Kristol, a guy who's never held public office before. That's the best part. It's like Bill Kristol and Rick Wilson and Eric Erickson and Stuart Stevens. They are the ultimate armchair quarterbacks. They really are. They're the ultimate armchair. They are the fat, disgusting, they're not even the Al Bundys. They're not the high school never wases. Okay? I was a high school football player that was awesome. I was awesome. But I was too small. I was too small. Bill Kristol and Eric Erickson and Stuart Stevens, they're not even that person. They're the person that sat in the back of the classroom, picked their nose, and ate their boogers. Okay? They didn't play any sports.
They didn't do anything except pick their nose, eat their boogers, and fart in their hands, cup their farts, and inhale them. That's what they did. They cupped their farts and sniffed their own ass gas. That's what they did. That is exactly what they did. That's who they are. They've never held public office. They've never been part of anything, of anything as far as leadership positions. I mean, they're nothing. They're guys that sit there and comment. They comment on politics. I mean, Eric Erickson is two fractions above me. He's a podcaster who's on a few radio markets, and he has a website. That's it, though. That's it. And he's in a crappy little state. He's in a crappy little state. So he's the voice in that crappy little state, like Charlie Sykes. Okay? Like Charlie Sykes in Wisconsin. Crappy little, it's like the local radio morning zoo DJ. I'm from Rochester, New York. It was like Brother Weeze, the guy that gets paid $150,000 a year, and he's like the star, man. And you're like, really, bro? What? And then Howard Stern comes along and gets syndicated, and he starts going to these markets. And one by one, these guys get destroyed. Because who the hell wants to listen to this putz? Who wants to listen to this local nobody? That's all these guys are. That's all Bill Kristol. And they're nobodies. They're writers. They're conservative thinkers. No, they're not. No, they're not. And yet, they're the ones that are telling millions and millions of people, this is who we are. This is what we're about. And now we are going to create a gimmick. We are going to do something to stop Donald Trump, to preserve our own power. Our own armchair quarterback power. That's just beyond messed up, man. That really is beyond messed up. It is. It's beyond messed up. So that was Friday, or that was yesterday. That was yesterday. So the speculation is, well, who is going to be that person? I'm sitting there, and my girl's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I can't believe this. I go, because if it's a named person, it's over. It really is. It's over. If it's a named person, if it's somebody that actually has even a 2 million person following, it's over. And I explain to her, when you follow somebody and your heart's with somebody, you don't leave them. When your heart is with a football team and you move to a different state, you don't then get on the bandwagon of whatever that team is. Can't. That's just not who we are as Americans. Yeah, you'll root for another team just because you're in that city or you're in that state or whatever, or college. But the heart is that first team, that first school. So I said, if Ted Cruz gets in, he has a following. He's got a few million people that will vote for him. They're going to
go in certain states and they're going to vote for him. I mean, this is, so she's like, oh, wow. So I'm thinking, okay, is it Jeb? Could, you know, Ted, you know, who cares if it's Sass? Because nobody knows him. Plus, there's internet things going around that he was part of the whole Dennis Hasting page scandal. Remember when the pages, remember with Foley, and you had young pages that were basically on Capitol Hill, like these underage guys, and they were basically being passed around as toys. You had congressmen like, oh God, they're doing dirty things with kids, okay? And Sass is part of that cover-up. And if he runs, it's going to come out full-fledged. So, Sass, who cares about him? But, you know, if it's a Cruz, if it's a Jeb, if it's a Marco, if it's a Romney, those people have a following. I mean, even goofball Jeb had a million or so people that voted for him, I think, give or take. I'd have to look at the stats. But Cruz, definitely, I mean, Ted Cruz had, I think, 6 million people that voted for him. And those 6 million people would vote for him in a presidential election. They would love it. They would love it. They would love it. So today, you had Breitbart and you had some other conservative websites reaching out to different candidates that people like me are going, well, who's it? Who, you know, who is it? It's got to be who? So the SAS team said he will absolutely not be an independent candidate for president in November. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sass said, not me. I'm not doing it. You got to understand. Whoever's going to do this is somebody who doesn't care about their future in politics. Whoever's going to do this doesn't care if they will ever be invited to the party again. Seriously. Whoever does this knows they're doing this to give Hillary Clinton the presidency and to say, I'm the one that stopped Donald Trump. I'm the one that stopped Donald Trump. I did it because morally, I couldn't vote for him. And I did what I did for the good of the American people. And you can thank me later. Goodbye. And then they go in exile. Because if there's somebody who wants to still be in politics, they will forever be the person, be the scum, listen, remember Ralph Nader? Remember that goofball? To this day, he's the guy that took the votes from Al Gore that gave the presidency to George Bush. You could talk about Florida. You could talk about hanging chads. All of that stuff is great. But at the end of the day, Ralph Nader, if you look, remember how close the Bush-Gore election was?
If you look at those states, it was the closest election in our lifetime. Remember, Al Gore won the popular vote. That's how close it was. Al Gore won the popular vote. Bush won the Electoral College because of Florida, but Al Gore won the popular vote. So if you took Ralph Nader out of the equation and the few million votes that Ralph Nader took, and you have to put him in an Al Gore column, people that voted for Ralph Nader definitely weren't voting for George Bush. Al Gore wins. Al Gore wins easy without Ralph Nader. And still to this day, Ralph Nader is regarded as scum. I'll never forget seeing a video. I don't remember if it was on Chris Matthew. It was on one of the political shows from years ago where James Carville. Remember James Carville, the snake? You remember Carville. He did this rant on Ralph Nader. I mean, it was just like, I will kill him. And to this day, Ralph Nader has never recovered. I mean, he is scum. He's scum. As far as Democrats are concerned, he is scum. So whoever is going to take this suicide mission is somebody who doesn't, absolutely doesn't want to be part of politics anymore. So, of course, Ben Sasse said no because he's in the Senate. Think about all the senators that would be pissed off. Even the senators who reluctantly went with Trump, they would be just fuming mad. They'd be like, Ben, you're just handing. You're going to hand the presidency to Hillary Clinton. And remember, most of these senators don't have to give up their seat to run for president. If they're up for re-election, you could get into a situation kind of like Rand Paul did. But for the most part, you run for president, you lose, you go back to the Senate. If you're a senator and you take time off to run as a third party to deny Trump the nomination, you got to go back to the Senate. Yeah, they're going to be, you're done. I mean, you're done. It's over. You're the dog garbage. You are garbage. If you're in your third year, that means you have three more years of being treated like garbage. And then when it's time for your reelection, you get no money, you get no support. Forget about it. So Ben Sasse said, thanks, but no thanks. They reached out to Jeb Bush. And Jeb Bush said, I'm not running as a third party. That ain't going to happen. So the Jeb Bush people said, not me. Remember, Jeb still has a future. I know as silly as that sounds, but the guy's young. The guy's young. It's not like he's 75 years old. He still has a future. I don't know if he'll run for president again. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Can't run for governor again. Maybe he'll be a senator. I mean, who knows? You don't know. You don't know. But whatever he does is going to involve people in the political world. So if he doesn't want to run for politics again, he's going to want a job that would involve people in the political world. I mean, that's what he did before. And he's not going to want to be regarded as the guy that gave the election to Hillary Clinton. It's just not going to happen. Ted Cruz told the Breitbart people he will not be the third party candidate. I kind of figured that, even though we threw it around on this show, I kind of figured that. I mean, already Ted Cruz is hated. Already Ted Cruz is despised. And I know in Ted Cruz's mind, he's sitting there going, I played the gimmick. Because think about this, you guys. And I know Ted Cruz, just like Rubio came out and said he regretted talking about Trump's penis and saying the small hands thing. And he actually apologized to Trump. You know, after you lose, you sit there and go, what did I do wrong? I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. You know, in Cruz's mind, he's sitting there going, you know, you live life on that razor's edge. You live life on that razor's edge. And sometimes you get cut. Sometimes you get cut a lot. And sometimes you escape getting cut and you actually win. You're actually successful. And I think Ted Cruz has sat there and went, all right, I used to be part of the establishment. I worked for Bush. My wife works for Goldman Sachs. I clerked for a Supreme Court judge. I mean, I was part of the establishment. I then became a senator, and I played the gimmick. I played the outsider gimmick. So everybody in the Senate knew I was part of the establishment. They knew I wanted to be part of the establishment. They basically told me, you got to wait your turn. You got to do all the things that you have to do when you're part of the establishment. And I plotted this strategy to be anti-establishment, piss everybody off, call Mitch McConnell a liar, shut down the government. I will be a prick, but that will launch my candidacy for the presidency, and I will ride that as the anti-establishment, the ultimate outsider. And Cruz played that, but that razor's edge, cut him, because when it was time to have the establishment, when it was time that he needed to have the support of the establishment, it wasn't there. So he got as far as he could without being nice. And when it came to the point where he needed them to have his back, so I know in his head he's sitting there going, how do I do this again? How do I fix this? What do I do? How do I fix? Because let's face it, guys. If the establishment really liked Ted Cruz, they would have kept backing him. They would have said, take it to the fight. We're going to do second and third. I mean, there was enough opposition to Trump from the establishment. But their mind and their feeling was, F Ted Cruz. So Ted Cruz wants a future in politics. He wants to continue. He's young. He's in his 40s. So he's not going to run. And he said, I'm done. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be the third party candidate. So it leaves the person, it leaves the person that the party is named after. It leaves the person that has nothing to lose. It leaves the person that has been the biggest critic. It leaves the person that's been running around trying to get other people to run. And that person is Mitt Romney. And when you throw in Stuart Stevens, who's been on every single talk show, he's been on every single political website, screaming and yelling and whining about Trump. He's worked for Romney in both failed campaigns. And he has nothing to lose because nobody's hiring him. Nobody's saying, hey, let's get Stuart Stevens to run our political campaign. Remember, the people that are the most vocal, the people that make the most noise, are the people that have been cast aside. The Rick Wilsons, the Stuart Stevens, the Eric Erickson's. So here's my prediction, ladies and gentlemen. Mitt Romney is going to be the third party candidate. Because remember, people were saying, hey, Mitt, instead of you running around trying to convince people like Jeb Bush and Ben Sasse, instead of running around and trying to convince them to run third party, why don't you just do it yourself, stupid? Why don't you just do it yourself, stupid? And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When you have nothing to lose, when you will never, ever again run for public office, when you are 70 years old, when you are a multi-millionaire, when you have made the most noise, you are that person to be the guy that gave the presidency to Hillary Clinton. Because then you just go back to your mansion in Magic Underpants state of Utah and are never heard from again. Think about this. In the last 4 years, when have you heard from Mitt Romney? Never, except him getting half naked with his man boobs flopping around in a charity match against Evander Holyfield. And that was only done to put his name back out there and see what the feedback would be for a Mitt Romney 3.0. That's it. It was, what do you guys think about Mitt now? What do you guys think about Mitt now? Remember what he said about Russia? Remember what he said about this other issue, and everybody laughed at him. And look where we are now. Look at the Russian issue. Look at this other issue. Look at, what do you guys think? Would you give him a shot? Look, his softer side. He's doing charity with Evander Holyfield. Look at his boobs flopping. See, he's vulnerable. but yet strong. What do you guys think? Are you down? Are we good? Other than that, you didn't hear from him. Other than that, he sat in his mansion, talked to Joseph Smith, changed his magic underpants. And that was that. That was it. It was over. Somebody with nothing to lose is the most dangerous person in the entire world. Because when you got things to lose, you don't do stupid things. So mark my words. Tomorrow, it will be announced that Mitt Romney will be running as a third-party candidate on the Latter-day Saints, Latter-day Republican Bill Kristol Party. They are not winning. They are not running to win. They are running to prevent Donald Trump from becoming the president. And in turn, he is running to preserve the power of Bill Kristol and the handful of other Republicans that say they know what's good for the party and that it's their party, not the American people that vote Republican. Remember that. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen.